listening to God's word, daily prayers, frequent and faithful reception of the Eucharist, confession of sins and absolution, good works. Learn more about the life of Lutheran piety in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January, Thank, Praise, Serve, and Obey, Recover the Joys of Piety. It's written by regular guest Pastor Will Whedon. Browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call 1-800-325-3040. Thank, praise, serve, and obey.
We still have a very, very high embryo loss in creation of life in the laboratory. So I think it's very disingenuous to say that it was a pro-life approach to making babies.
And this is just madness to say. And each one of us, all 7 billion, all have these magical divine destinies from forever where we're all going to change the world. You know, that's what's destroying the world.
Another way to think about what I've called cliche theology is your rhetoric running your theology, or is the theology running the rhetoric?
Moms in labor, love, issues, etc.
If I'm not mistaken, I think it is the first resurrection account in the book of Acts. Jesus told his disciples that they would do the same and greater signs than he did. And of course, Jesus was known to heal the sick, to cause the blind to see, the lame to walk, the deaf to hear. He healed leprosy, and he raised the dead. And in Acts chapter 9, we find one of Jesus' disciples, Peter, doing the same thing. It's almost told in a matter-of-fact way. A woman who is beloved by her community dies, and they call for Peter, who's not far off. He shows up, and the next thing you know, she is alive again. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be teaching a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker of Law and Gospel on Dorcas in Acts chapter 9, also known as Tabitha, I believe. Wesley Smith will join us after that. We're going to talk about the top bioethical issues for 2018. Bill McKeever will join us to discuss the death of the president of the Mormon Church. Thomas Monson passed away at a ripe old age. It's pretty clear that his successor will be the next oldest in line. That's how Mormons generally tend to do that. What does that bode for the future, or at least the short-term future of Mormonism? Then Terry Mattingly will be our guest on this Wednesday afternoon. We'll talk about a recent National Public Radio story titled, 2017 has been a rough year for evangelicals. Why do all these stories on evangelicalism all strongly feature Donald Trump? We'll talk a little bit about that in the last half hour of the program. Joining us to teach a Sunday school lesson today, Dorcas in Acts chapter 9, Pastor Tom Baker. He's host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you.
Are we witnessing here Jesus' promise being fulfilled that his disciples will, in essence, kind of carry on the rest of his ministry? They will do the same kind of healing and even in this case, resurrection signs that he did.
Yes, you are correct that this is, in the book of Acts, the first resurrection from the dead. But there are a few healings. For example, right before this, the healing of Aeneas. And what's really important here is even after Dorcas is raised from the dead, you would think that the Bible would go on and say, and it became known throughout all Joppa what Peter had done, and many believed in Peter. But it doesn't say that. It says, and many believed in the Lord. And the reason for that is the way that Peter did that healing ministry of Aeneas. He says, Aeneas, Jesus Christ heals you. Rise and make your bed. And even with the raising of Dorcas from the dead, guess what he does? Peter put them all outside, knelt down, and prayed. Now, if he had the power to raise somebody from the dead, he wouldn't have had to pray to God for him to do that. So one can only imagine that after people saw what he had done, he really had the opportunity to share with them about this Jesus, whose name he had used in the healing of Aeneas, and of course, what he had been talking about since his conversion on the road to Damascus.
So we have Peter here that I'm wondering, too, in the context, whether or not the Holy Spirit is moving Peter up the seacoast here in order to get him close to where he's going to be next when he has this vision about unclean and clean animals and his encounter with the Gentiles.
Yeah, you can almost see it in the very last verse of the Sunday school lesson. It says, Peter stayed in Joppa for many days with one Simon, a tanner. Now, a tanner is someone who does his work by the killing of animals, and therefore he would be considered unclean. And so already Peter is staying with someone who is considered to be unclean. And it really gets us set up for the next Sunday school lesson, which we will do next week, God willing, with Peter's visitation with Cornelius, another Gentile.
The other thing about this account of the raising of Dorcas is that it's not as though they ask him to raise her from the dead, but he does anyway. It's almost as though this is a miracle that is, in some ways, kind of a compassionate response to these people who are obviously mourning her loss.
I would suggest that that's correct until I read the Growing in Christ material, and they make a point that is really pretty good, that what Peter was doing in raising her from the dead was sending a signal from God that he was most pleased with her, because the Bible says she was filled with good works. And there's a lot in the lesson about salt, how she is like the salt of the earth. Many people can do good works, but they can do them for the wrong reason. For example, there was a recent television show of children offering bags of clothing and food to those who were poor and those who had been hit by a hurricane. But when they asked, why are you doing it? The children says, because it makes me feel good. I'm confident that Dorcas' answer would not have been that answer. She was making clothes for widows, not because it just made her feel good, which I'm sure it did, but because she felt so, shall we say, close to her Lord for what he had done for her, that she was just overflowing with wanting to do good works for others. And it reminds us of the Philippians 2 passage, that as Jesus' interest was in others, so also our interest ought to be in helping out others. And Dorcas is a beautiful example of the life of sanctification of a proper Christian.
She's referred to as a disciple. What should we make of that?
Yes, she's not called an apostle. The word disciple simply means one who is following Jesus, who believes in him, and who trusts him. So we would have no problem saying that a congregation of believers are considered to be disciples of Jesus because of their having been baptized, received the gift of the Holy Spirit. Their body is now the temple of the Holy Spirit, and they are doing what's called fruit of the Holy Spirit, which is a direct connection to their being disciples of Jesus.
So we're talking here about a Christian believer. She's not called a disciple just to kind of indicate she was a good person. She is a believer in Jesus Christ.
Yes, and her name is Tabitha. That's the Aramaic. Dorcas actually is the Greek translation. And what it refers to, it's the word for a female gazelle. That's an animal, of course. and it was one that was a European or Asian deer. They have short, erect antlers forked at the summit. That's what her name was. And so we do that, too, with many names that will name folks after animals, etc. I mean, if you've been watching any football these days, almost most teams are named after some kind of animal that they want to emulate. And so it wasn't a bad name at all, but it was a name that is found, by the way, it's a Shakespearean baby name in the Winter Tale Shepherdess that Shakespeare even uses. But this is the only time in the Bible that Dorcas is mentioned.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson on Acts chapter 9, the verses that contain the account of Dorcas, her death, and then being raised up by the Apostle Peter. After we conclude our conversation with Pastor Baker, Wesley Smith will join us here in the first hour. We'll talk about the top bioethical issues of 2018.
It was Jesus Christ our Lord. Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago.
Listen to the best of the church's music for the Advent season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the Advent season, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Each month, the Lutheran Witness magazine brings together leading thinkers and writers to cover a range of vital topics relating to Christian life and faith, culture and theology. So whether your 2018 New Year's resolution is to read more widely, think more broadly, or grow more deeply in your faith, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's flagship magazine can help. Subscribe today at cph.org/witness. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran perspective.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Answering objections defending the faith, evolution or creation, transgenderism and homosexuality. These are some of the issues addressed at the San Antonio Biblical Worldview Conference, Saturday, February the 3rd at Faith Lutheran Church in San Antonio, Texas. Learn more at worldviewsa.org. This conference features Issues Etc. guests Dr. Jan Lohmeyer and Pastor David J. Weber. The San Antonio Biblical Worldview Conference, Saturday, February the 3rd, worldviewsa.org.
Do you dread going to work out? Performance Fitness in Edwardsville offers a fun, supportive, tight-knit community and environment. Visit them on the web at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. 618-692-5063 or performancefitness618.com. Performance Fitness of Edwardsville.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson on the story of Dorcas in Acts chapter 9. Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. Here's a little bit from that Growing in Christ lesson. The Lord was at work through Dorcas, showing mercy to others, both in her lifetime and every time her story is told. As this news spread, many others came to believe in the God who gives life to the dead through him who raised from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ. You can see how the emphasis is always upon what God has done in Jesus Christ in this Sunday school curriculum called Growing in Christ. You can order a free sample and see for yourself. Give Concordia Publishing House a call any weekday during regular business hours, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or you can browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand and look for Growing in Christ, a Sunday school curriculum from Concordia Publishing House. Tom, let's talk about the acts of charity. It talks about both good works. She was full of good works and acts of charity, or I think some have translated that acts of mercy. What would your thoughts be there?
I would go back to what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, that we are to be the salt of the earth. In our day, salt is pretty pure. It's a combination of sodium and chloride, and that's what makes it salty. If it doesn't taste salty, then somehow that compound has lost either the sodium or the chloride. But in Jesus' day, salt was mined from impure rock, and it was also mixed with dirt and vegetation, etc. Now, if it was left alone and exposed to rain, the actual salt would seep out of the mixture, and all that would be left is rock or dirt, useless for anything, except, as Matthew 5:13 says, literally good for nothing except to be walked on. So a Christian is to be the salt of the earth. That is, we are not to be idle. We are not to separate ourselves from the earth. In fact, that was one of the problems during the time of the Reformation, when you had monasteries and nunneries with people in there who thought they were being much more Christian because they were spending most of their time in religious duties. But we are called to be part of the earth. And that's a very important vocation during this day and age, when so much is contrary to the Bible in the minds of people. So as salt of the earth, we are not to be idle, but instead we want to have a preserving quality as we share with others how important our Christian life is. What Dorcas reminds us of is how our works of mercy can call attention to Jesus Christ himself. The best example I can think of, because it happened in my lifetime, during the tsunami in Sierra Leone, people died, houses were destroyed, food was devastated. And then Lutheran Christians came in to help them rebuild the houses, give them food, etc. And the people who believed in karma, thinking that the tsunami was a punishment for something they had done, couldn't understand why these Christians were helping them. And since then, it has resulted in the formation of more Lutheran churches in the area. Because as they were doing these works of mercy, people were asking them, why are you doing this? And it gave a tremendous opportunity for the Christians to tell them about Jesus Christ. And that appears to be the motivation of Dorcas. She was helping widows specifically in sewing garments for them and such. And in fact, when Peter arrived, all the widows were showing all that she had made for them, that they were so happy with what she had done and yet so sad. And so it doesn't really give an indication that they thought he would raise her from the dead. But as Jesus also did, he had everyone removed from the room, except in his case, two of his disciples stayed when he raised that little girl. And in this case, Peter raised Tabitha and then called in the widows to see that she was alive. And it says, many turned to the Lord. And that's a very important word there, because it comes from the idea of repentance. A repentance is a turning from oneself to a turning to the Lord, but it's always done by the work of God. Remember the lost sheep that was found? He turned to go back home because Jesus lifted him on his shoulders to return him. So Dorcas would be an excellent example for what the Synod often talks about in its tripart goals, and one of them is mercy. We don't do works of mercy to make us feel good. We don't do works of mercy, so God now will have to take us to heaven because we've merited our way. No, we're going to heaven because of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And therefore, these works of mercy are done out of thankfulness for what he has done for us as we serve the neighbor.
You've indicated here that it's almost as though Peter seems to know what he's doing, but he's really kind of just following the example that he'd seen in Jesus Christ in similar circumstances. It's not exact parallel to some of Jesus' own resurrection accounts, but I'm thinking about the little girl. He goes in and Jesus, as you mentioned, puts everyone outside before he raises his child from the dead, almost as though Peter is following Jesus' example.
Yes. The Bible doesn't say everything that Peter is saying. So you have to go to different passages. But for example, at the end of the next chapter, Acts 10, it says that the preaching is to Jesus, all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him received forgiveness of sins through his name. Remember how many times before the healing, Jesus would forgive their sins and then tell the man with the bed to get up and walk. And, oh, the Pharisees were all upset over that. And Jesus said, well, what's easier to do, forgive sins or tell a man to get up and walk? And there's a tight connection between the preaching of the gospel, namely the forgiveness of sins and the robe of righteousness and healing. Because once your sins are forgiven, in heaven there will be no sickness, no death, no sadness, no suffering. And Jesus and the disciples just give a portion of that here on earth in order to have the people look forward to the eternity of bliss that they will experience because of Jesus Christ.
Someone might ask, Tom, why don't pastors do this now? Why, when they're called to the bedside, don't they raise up the dead? What would your response be?
I would respond that we do resurrections all the time. And you're going to ask, what do I mean by that? I say that Saul was resurrected from the dead on the road to Damascus when he came to faith. And my Bible verse would be Ephesians chapter 2, when it says that God, being rich in mercy, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ, by grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The believer has not only been raised from the dead in a far more powerful way than simply physical, but he is also ascended into heaven and is at the right hand of God. Why? Because he's part of the body of Christ, and where the head is, so also is the body. Jesus is the head at the right hand of God, and we are right now seated with him. So in reality, every time a pastor does an infant baptism, it's a resurrection from the dead. Every time he does an adult instruction, it's a resurrection from the dead. Every time he's on the radio like Issues, etc., and people hear the true gospel message and come to believe it by the Holy Spirit, Issues, etc., has become Peter raising from the dead those who were dead in trespasses.
Finally, what's the simple law and gospel for the Sunday school children in the story of Dorcas from the book of Acts?
The simple law and gospel is, don't think that the good works you're doing somehow makes God love you more. There is nothing you can do to get God to love you more. There's nothing you can do to get God to love you less. The gospel is, God so loved you that he gave his only begotten son to die on the cross and be raised from the dead. So the law is to accuse us of thinking that our works of mercy make us look better to God, when in reality the only thing that makes us look better to God is the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ and our trust in the promises of the gospel promises connected to those events.
Pastor Tom Baker hosts a radio program called Law and Gospel. You'll find a link to Law and Gospel at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Tom, thanks for being our guest.
And thank you.
On the other side of the break on this Wednesday afternoon, we're going to be discussing some of the top bioethical issues in 2018. The movement against life at the beginning, middle, and end of life continues, and we'll find out what the challenges will be for this coming year with Wesley Smith, Senior Fellow at the Discovery Institute Center on Human Exceptionalism.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Here's what you'll find in the latest Issues Etc. journal. I've written a column titled A Letter to Ex-Evangelicals. Pastor Rob Kieslowski has detailed his journey to the Lutheran Christian tradition, and Dr. Ken Sherb writes about the story of an entire city's journey to the Reformation, Strasbourg, France. We'll send you the Issues Etc. journal for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org, the free online Issues Etc. journal.
Looking for a foreign language program that will revolutionize your students' vocabulary knowledge and their understanding of grammar? How about a program that teaches critical thinking skills too? Look no further than Memoria Press's Latin curriculum. Students of all ages can use these Latin study programs. Give your students the language of medicine and law today. Visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR17. Memoria Press, a classical Christian education that works.
Holy Cross Evangelical Lutheran Church, Albany, Oregon, is a mid-Willamette Valley LCMS congregation where the liturgy lives and God's people worship as one, with sound biblical doctrine, weekly communion, and a clear confession of Christ crucified for the sin of the world. Please join us at 2515 Queen Avenue Southeast or visit our website at www.HolyCrossLutheranAlbany.org.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues Etc.
For 28 years, I had the privilege of serving as a chaplain in the United States Navy.
Dr. Dan Gard, retired Rear Admiral and President of Concordia University Chicago, on the need for military chaplains.
During that time, I was able to bring word and sacrament to so many young people and their families, our sons and daughters spread throughout the world. Truly a privilege and an honor, and today, there are other chaplains that must follow. We need more LCMS chaplains in all branches of the military. It's an incredible, amazing mission opportunities to go to places no other pastor can go, but to go with the same tools that any other pastor brings wherever he goes, word and sacrament.
You can find out more about the vocation of military chaplain at lcms.org/armed forces. The LCMS ministry to the armed forces, lcms.org/armed forces.